Hare Krishna. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Sri Sri Radha Kulchandani's Bhagavad Gita class. Tonight we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13. And we're beginning with text number 25. And this chapter is entitled Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Danyenatmani pashyanti kechit atmanam atmana anye sankyana yogena karma yogena chapari. Some perceive the Supersoul within themselves through meditation, others through the cultivation of knowledge, and still others through working without fruitive desires. Purport. The Lord informs Arjuna that the conditioned souls can be divided into two classes as far as man's search for self-realization is concerned. There are those who are atheists, agnostics, and skeptics, and they are beyond the sense of spiritual understanding. But there are others who are faithful in their understanding of spiritual life, and they are called introspective devotees, philosophers and workers who have renounced fruitive results. Those who always try to establish the doctrine of monism are also counted among the atheists and agnostics. In other words, only the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are best situated in spiritual understanding, because they understand that beyond this material nature are the spiritual world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is expanded as the Paramatma, the Supersoul, in everyone, the all-pervading Godhead. Of course, there are those who try to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth by cultivation of knowledge, and they can be counted in the class of the faithful. The Sankhya philosophers analyze this material world into 24 elements, and they place the individual soul as the 25th item. When they are able to understand the nature of the individual soul to be transcendental to the material elements, they are able to understand also that above the individual soul there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the 26th element. Thus, gradually, they also come to the standard of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Those who work without fruitive results are also perfect in their attitude. They are given a chance to advance to the platform of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Here it is stated that there are some people who are pure in consciousness and who try to find out the Supersoul by meditation. And when they discover the Supersoul within themselves, they become transcendentally situated. Similarly, there are others who also try to understand the Supreme Soul by cultivation of knowledge. And there are others who cultivate the Hatha Yoga system, who try to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by childish activities. I think that's a very interesting statement. Prabhupada is saying that those who practice Hatha Yoga and who try to satisfy the Supreme Lord by such practice are simply trying to please Him by childish activities. So here he's describing Hatha Yoga as childish. I mean, it's pretty much gymnastics nowadays. In the past, the idea was that for people who are too sensual, they could engage in breathing and asanas and stretching themselves to calm their senses down and gradually, you know, concentrate upon the Supreme. I mean, I know that's no longer part of Hatha Yoga, at least as it's practiced today. But previously, that was the system. Text number 26. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Welcome. The pujaris just closed the curtain right now to dress the deities in their evening clothing. They'll open again at about 8 o'clock, right about 8. You're welcome. But we're serving prasadam in the next room if you'd like some prasadam. Otherwise, the restaurant's open also. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is simply no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress, especially, according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age there is no... He has said that in this age no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one will gradually be elevated to the position of a pure devotee himself. In this verse, particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate. Although a common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada, he calls modern scientists madmen. Says, while sitting in the garden, Prabhupada saw the dummy monkey hung up to scare the monkeys away. So in India, there's monkeys. Sometimes they're very aggressive and they'll steal things or even bite people. And so they'll put a dummy monkey on a stick, which indicates that if they keep, you know, attacking, that they'll also be killed and hung on a stick. So here it's described here. This made him think of Darwin, and he said Darwin was perplexed by the beauty of the peacock and could not explain it. He knew he was talking nonsense. After moving inside and while listening to kirtan, hey, Vinod. Oh, hi, Krishna. After moving inside and while listening to kirtan, Prabhupada said I could massage him, as my massages were very good. This was certainly his mercy, and I took it as an encouragement that I should spend more time attending to him. Prabhupada asked when he could see the deities, so we promptly moved him before Krishna and Balaram in his chair. As he sat beneath the tamal tree and looked upon the two brothers, many tears glided down his cheeks. They are dressed very nicely. It is very cool here, therefore I kept this tree. I wanted to read something in particular. And the Gita, here it is. Oh no, this is something else too. Let me read this. Everyone is cheating. They mix chemicals with horse urine and sell it as fragrant oils. Here it is. This is part of it. The philosophers, scientists, lawyers, doctors, everyone. How to cheat and get more money from people. No sincerity, no service spirit, no idea of the goal of life. And we stand against all of this nonsense. We want pure service for Krishna. Whatever I have wanted to say, I have said in my books. If I live, I will say something more. If you want to know me, read my books. Now I am not going to travel here and there anymore. No more speaking to large gatherings. Let my disciples do that. Physically, I am unfit. Chinmayananda says that because you are a Brahmana, you can do any sin you wish and you won't be affected by it. No heaven, no hell. So all our shastras are bogus. Why you don't expose these things in a public meeting? 10 avatars starting with the fish proves Darwin's theory. Why give credit to Darwin? Even if it were true, the Vedas said it millions of years before Darwin. Why he has taken Darwin as his father? Why not Veda Vyas? If you make a statement someone else made, you give credit to the other person who said it first. So he's quoting the Vedas. Why not give the Vedas credit instead of Darwin? There is a Bengali verse. What is there that a goat will not eat and a madman will not say? So these scientists are madmen. They went to the moon. They will make life. I call them all cheaters and rascals. They are merciless. They will kill their own children in the womb and even eat their flesh, rakshasas. There is a story. They wanted to paint a picture showing a war scene and a child being killed in front of its mother. So they asked many artists to paint how the mother's face would look seeing her own child killed in front of her. One artist showed the mother covering her eyes with her arm, unable to stand seeing the child killed. And this got the first prize. Anyone who can see a child killed is merciless. For such merciless demons, I do not give any credit. They are uncivilized. They say we are brainwashing, that we have taken away free will. But should a child be given free will? They are all children, uneducated. Let them be educated by Krishna consciousness. I say they are intelligent, but they are misdirected. Now in Krishna consciousness, the intelligence is being properly utilized. So I have spoken very strongly, and now they have printed it. So this is just a little bit of Prabhupada commenting in the Bhagavad Gita we were just reading, where Prabhupada said they're really, people are calling themselves to be agnostics or atheists or philosophers, but really there's no real philosophy behind what they're saying. There's no authority behind what they're saying. It's simply speculation. And the problem is that our senses are defective. Our material senses make mistakes. We're subject to illusions. We think that we're this body. Our senses are imperfect. We think things, just like we look at the sun in the sky, and it looks like a small globe the size of whatever, a golf ball. But according to electronic telescopes, they're saying that during a solar eclipse, just the flames coming off the sun are 10.5 million miles in length. So our senses are imperfect. We look at that, we can't see that. And we have a cheating propensity. Just like Prabhupada was pointing out here, doctors, so many people, you know, they come up with things simply to make money. Hare Krishna, good evening, welcome. And, you know, they state that everything comes from a Big Bang. Right? The Big Bang Theory. But nobody's ever demonstrated that. No one's ever been able to explode, you know, some chemicals or some chunk of matter. And they don't even discuss where the primordial soup or the chunk came from. It's all speculation. They say that everything comes from nothing. Do you believe that? That's insane. And yet, you know, these men are given Nobel Prizes and they become leaders of universities. And they educate all the most brilliant children. They challenge Srila Prabhupada's statements. They say that life has no purpose. And really all they can offer people is sex life. The greatest pleasure that they offer, the greatest satisfaction that they offer is some type of sexual experience. They parade sex like the ultimate satisfaction. But anybody who has experienced sex, they know, any you know, honest person will describe, will explain that there's so much suffering. Yeah, there's a few moments of pleasure, sensual pleasure, but the woman will develop morning sickness. She'll be throwing up for months, carrying the child for months. Very uncomfortable, very difficult. I was at a convention once, and there was a group that had created a type of a front pack, like a backpack, to simulate the feeling of what it is like to carry a child. And they would have men put those on and then have them perform all the different duties that they expect their wives to do, like, you know, doing their laundry and cleaning the bathrooms and cooking and all of these things. People couldn't believe how difficult it is. And then after that, for years, 10, 20, 30 years, taking care of the child, cleaning the child, and the man working for years on end, 10, 20, 30 years of hard labor. If you want to call it enjoyment, at best it's 10th class. And yet, that's all modern society has to offer. You go to the best clubs, the best resorts, watch the best programs on television. It's just all sex. And there's a verse that explains that that this type of pleasure, it's available even to the hogs and dogs that eat their own stool. Even pigs are having sex life. So we shouldn't become, you know, allured or enamored due to, you know, their propaganda and their psychology and due to our past attachments. That's why it's very important to associate with the devotees and to hear especially Prabhupada's statements. Because only somebody who's free from sex life, only somebody who's free from material, from a desire to enjoy in this material world, can actually even understand these things. People in general, they have no idea of what real happiness is. They don't understand what real love is. They don't even understand who they are. Prabhupada, he said that a man is running in a car on four wheels and a dog is running on four legs. What's the difference? If they're simply running to eat and to sleep and to have sex and to defend themselves, there's no difference. Just polished cats and dogs. And yet, we've become so deluded as a society that we compare the achievements that are even the pleasures that are experienced even by hogs and dogs as the ultimate perfection of human life. You know, Frank Sinatra, he was so addicted to sex life that when he became an old man, he had a surgery and he had the testicles of a monkey put on his body. so he could continue to have sex life. Frank Sinatra, the owner of Caesar's Palace, he owned like half of Las Vegas. Multi-trillionaire. So addicted to sex life. Oh, we have examples just like not too long ago, the direct cabinet member of the President of the United States in charge of Homeland Security was arrested for pedophile. The superintendent of the Plano School District just here in Dallas was arrested for raping a teenage girl with his three teenage sons. Americans spend $1 trillion a year on beer. I mean, if you just read the newspaper or look at the news, it's just shocking. You know, these are like leading people in society. They're worse than animals. They create wars just to make money. Kill millions of innocent people. If you look at the photography of any of the recent wars, it's just shocking to see people, you know, with their arms and legs blown off and, you know, their bodies and their children. And children watching their own parents murdered right in front of them. And yet they come on television and these big huffy and puffy, you know, leaders and business people and senators, and they get on television, they make so many statements. How the American people should be living, what they should think, what they should do. I remember in the presidential debates, one of the leaders, he was going on and on about how he believes in God, His father was a pastor, and he believes in God, and he was raised a religious person, but he didn't believe that God has the right to reach out through the television and tell your daughter whether or not to have an abortion. That God and religion and religious belief is irrelevant to the government and to the way the people should be guided. Irrelevant. Even old Noel Webster in the Webster's Dictionary understood, if you look at the dictionary definition of the word God, is the supreme controller, ruler, and source of everything. Omniscient, omnipotent, source of everything. Right? So if God is the source of everything, if he's controlling everything, then how can he be irrelevant to something? It's a linguistic contradiction. God in irrelevance cannot be put together. God, by definition, is relevant to every single thing. So it's just a type of political atheism. Yes, I believe in God. I believe in God. My parents were God. I accept God, and my parents were God-fearing and God-loving. But God is irrelevant to the government. Just to manipulate people for votes. Why? So it can get into office and make more and more money. Just like one of my friends, he was telling me that our president, since he's gotten to office now, he's increased his personal wealth by $3 billion. His personal assets, his personal savings have increased by $3 billion. The Prabhupada was saying that. Their only purpose is how to make money. People will do anything to make money because their senses are just wild and out of control. Their minds are out of control. Prabhupada's pointing that out. They'll kill their own child. Out of 5,000 reported rape cases, there wasn't a single pregnancy. Women are not aborting their children because they've been raped. Women are aborting their children because of economic reasons. If I have this child, I won't be able to buy a Lexus, I'll have to buy a Toyota. If I have this child, I won't be able to go to a restaurant three times a week, I'll only be able to go once. If I buy this child, I won't be able to live in Frisco, I'll have to live in Dallas. So cut the child out of the budget. Hare Krishna, good evening. Curtains will open in about 30 minutes. Okay, wonderful. No, you're not interrupting at all. But everyone parades around like everything is good. And I am good. The world is fine. And what's so sad is pretty much nobody cares. You might have a handful of people that really want to change themselves and try to change the world, reform society. But for the most part, people don't really care. People are going to hell. They're living horrible lives, sinful lives, addicted to meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, abortion, all these acts of violence and cruelty and insanity. And at the end of their life, they'll die, they'll go to hell, and then they'll be lucky if they become dogs in their next life, and no one even cares. In fact, in their own minds, they're better you go to hell. Yes, go to hell. They even say that to one another sometimes. Go to hell. It gives them some kind of satisfaction to condemn someone. So we shouldn't become persuaded by that. We shouldn't give up the culture of Krishna consciousness, the spiritual culture of the Bhagavad Gita, in the name of economic development, in the name of Western civilization. Because at the end of our lives, if we don't take this up and practice it seriously, we'll experience the greatest lamentation of our lives. Sure. We'll experience the greatest lamentation that I knew this, I knew Krishna, I knew the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but I didn't care. Yeah, it's very serious, actually, when you read these things. I could make a bunch of jokes if you want me to, instead of talking seriously. But here Prabhupada is condemning the whole Western civilization. He's condemning scientists, lawyers, doctors, business people, educators. He said they have no philosophy, they have no science, they're just wild, out of control, their minds and their senses are just wild and out of control. Prabhupada doesn't give any importance to what they say or do. He doesn't give any, understand. The only thing he says here is that he does accept that they are intelligent, but their intelligence is misdirected. Just like, say, for example, you got a, you know, the world's best automobile, right? What's the world's best automobile today? Okay, let's just say a brand new, fully electric car, right? Tesla, new. There's a bunch of them. One of the devotees was just driving this new electric Ford Fusion. She got it really cheap. No one wanted to buy it. It was a year old. It's a beautiful car. Just plugged it in. She was staying at Mother Yogamaya's house. She just plugs it in at night. Doesn't have to put fuel. Doesn't produce any emissions. And it's a fully electric car, but it also has a gas engine too. So if you're driving a long distance and you can't get a charge, it'll convert to the fuel also. But even though you may have the world's best automobile, and you've got money, and you're a great driver, and you're passing up everybody on the highway, but if you're going the wrong direction, what's the point? So that's what we're witnessing in the Western society, now throughout the world, practically speaking. You go to a major city in India, say like Mumbai, Bombay. Now Bombay, the pollution is so bad that just breathing the air is equivalent to smoking 2 packs of cigarettes per day. You go out on the beaches. Years ago, I used to go to the Juhu temple. I got married there in the Hare Krishna land in Juhu. Prabhupada opened that temple. It's right there next to you in the slide in the picture. Right there. It's a beautiful, beautiful temple. Shushi Radharasta Bihari's temple. 2 international, now 3 international guest houses and huge facility there. Great restaurant, theater. Bhaktivedanta Science Institute is there. Just an amazing place. And the whole building is carved out of marble, the temple building. Hand-carved marble. And so years ago, I used to go there, and then all the local people, and even Srila Prabhupada and my Guru Maharaj, Tamalkrishna Goswami, will walk on the beach in the morning. So as soon as the sun comes up, you'll see everybody coming out of their homes. Everybody goes to the beach and they take these brisk morning walks for exercise. Everyone is saying hello and good morning to one another. And the devotees are walking and chanting. You see many pictures of Prabhupada walking on Juhu Beach. So, and then I got married there in 1992. And I also went out to the beach with my wife, my new wife. It was very wonderful with our family. And later, I brought my kids there. This is about 5 years ago now. And the beach was filled with so much trash, plastic trash, that you couldn't even walk on the sand without stepping on garbage. Anywhere. The beach, for miles, just covered with trash, plastic and garbage. And if you go anywhere, you'll see kids, like, for example, buy an ice cream bar, and they pulled the wrapper off the ice cream bar and just throw it on the ground. Everywhere in the city, everywhere on the beach, just filled with trash. I was living in China for some time, for about 6 years. And people, they have, because of communism strangling people, atheistic communism, just strangling people's personal self-worth and self-esteem, nobody will do anything. I went into these university dormitories, and I can safely say that perhaps the bathrooms hadn't been cleaned in 25 years. Nobody will clean them. Because according to communism, no matter what you do, you get the same amount of money. It's called the Iron Rice Bowl. So whether you work or you don't work, you still get the same amount of money. So nobody wants to do anything. And this life is the only life. And your life is miserable. You have to work like a slave. It's not against the nature of the soul to work hard. But it is against the nature of the soul to be enslaved. And when people realize they're enslaved, working for some, minimum wage, and then that there will never be any improvement in their life, they become so depressed. Their daily depression increases more and more. And you'll see they turn to alcohol, or they just become very, angry and, jaded. They become very indifferent to everyone and everything. Nothing really matters. You don't matter. My life doesn't matter. You see. So you go into a store and you ask for something, and a person just gets angry at you for bothering them. And then I saw people are so lazy that because of this, they're so dissatisfied because of this, they're so unmotivated because of this atheism and this gross human exploitation by their political leaders, that and they're told that this life is everything and their life is horrible. So they become so dissatisfied and unmotivated. And they think, oh, this is how my life will be. And then after that, I don't exist anymore. There's never any way to improve my life. And so they live in complete frustration and dissatisfaction. And you can see by their behavior, like you go to any major apartment complex, and if you look outside on the floor, it's just huge piles of trash surrounding the building with rats eating it. People just take the garbage and just throw it out the windows of their apartments onto the ground. It's disgusting to see it. I'm not saying that everyone is like that, but I'm saying in general, the situation is very bad. Right now, there's a really interesting film you guys can watch. It's about a year old now. He's the former CEO for Citibank. He's an Australian. And what he shows is that by killing cows, we have destroyed the entire economy, and the entire world is being destroyed or being ruined by killing cows. He's the former CEO for Citibank. Amazing discussion. And there's a group of lobbyists promoting meat eating that are debating with him. And two things that he says, he said, look it, meat eating can be linked to every type of major disease today. Cancer, all different types of heart diseases. And he said, but vegetarian diet, there's not a single disease that's created by a vegetarian diet. He said, that's one point. And then in the other point that he makes is that about the simple violence and for example, America, we have South American countries growing grains for us, millions of tons of grain. We buy it from South American countries just to feed cows for slaughter. If even 10% of the American people would stop eating meat, we could feed the entire world. There would be nobody hungry in the world. And what he showed is that this system is so artificial. He said that it's like, just like having a United States 1 cent coin cost more to create to make than a penny. So he said the same way this lifestyle, this median lifestyle, it cost more than it's worth. And what he showed of one of the things that he shows, he says that America spends $8 trillion a year on medical care. He said at this rate, unless we do something to change this economic situation, There's no possibility that American people can even afford for their own medical care. And as you can see, the country is going farther and farther into debt. Now we're up to $14 trillion in debt. Major universities like the University of California in Santa Cruz, one of the richest areas in the country, had just had a 45% increase in tuition last year. Kids that went to college there, who were freshmen 2 years ago, on their second year, suddenly their tuitions have increased almost, you know, double. How is it possible? How is it possible that anyone can afford it? They're saying that the best thing you can do for your future is that go to college, and so that before you even begin your occupation, you'll have $100,000 to $200,000 debt to pay off. And that's the best possible thing that you can do for your future. But American youth, they don't have any alternative. Prabhupada said that this Western education system is not an education system, it's simply a business. These universities, they don't care about these kids. If you don't pay the tuition, your kid gets thrown out of school. Your kid might be the smartest kid in the university, but if he can't pay his tuition, if he can't pay his room and board, instantly removed. Vedic system is that regardless of what the kid can give to the school, the child will receive an education. And not only that, the kids were trained how to be independent. They were trained how to have their own businesses, and society was set up in smaller communities. No city was arranged over 50,000 people. So jobs were duplicated again and again and again. It wasn't just mass, these gigantic corporate businesses that just dominate and exploit an entire city, and millions of people go without jobs because some huge company can afford these multi-billion dollar machines and equipment to mass produce everything and force people out of their jobs. In the Vedic society, the education system was so nice that people would become fully independent. They could live without depending on anyone else in their occupation. Nowadays, you could have 17 degrees. You could have 17 PhDs. And if you don't get a job, you'll starve. Prabhupada called it unemployment and the educated dog. Just like in a city, a dog goes from house to house. Will you take me as your dog? Will you take me as your dog? I'll shake my tail for you. I'll sit up when you want me to. I'll bark at anyone you don't like. You see? No, get away from my house. Go! They throw some stone at the dog, and the dog goes from house to house, right? And then finally, Hare Krishna, curtains will open in about 15 minutes. And then, so in the same way, our Western education has made people so dependent, not independent, but so dependent, that a man can have 17 degrees, you could have 17 PhDs, but if you don't get a job, you'll starve to death. So we go from company to company. Will you give me a job? Will you give me a job? Will you give me a job? Just like a dog in the city going from house to house looking for a master. Don't worry. I'll sit up whenever you ask me to. I'll work as many hours as you want me to. I'll sign me on so I can get, you know, something. The education system is actually it's a business. And everything that's being taught is highly speculative. Just like in our major, if you look online right now, you'll see Nobel laureates. They're saying things like this. 3.2 billion years ago, dead inorganic matter went through a sudden chance explosion and converted into living matter, and life began as we know it. And our kids are being taught that everything comes from nothing, that everything comes from a sudden chance explosion. And nobody wants to stand up and do anything to change it. Okay, so I'm going to stop here so you guys can have a good time with this bhajan. Thank you so much for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.